Today's daf is Menachos daf Yud Ches. We left off in daf Yud Zayin and Beis. We're a couple of lines from the bottom of the page on Yud Zayin and Beis. Yesterday we started Perek HaKomitz Rabbah. So to get us back into the sugya, since we're right in the middle of something, the very first mishnah in Perek HaKomitz Rabbah, it's called HaKomitz Rabbah because of the two prokim in a row that are both called HaKomitz. This is the larger of the two, so we call it HaKomitz Rabbah. So in the first mishnah tells us that if a person has a machsheves pigel, to eat that which is normally burnt, or to burn that which is normally eaten. For instance, by a kabar mincha, he has a machsheva to eat the kmitza, or to burn the shirayim, chutzl zmano. So Rabbi Lezer holds that it's going to be pasul, that such a machshava could still pasul the karban. So the Gemara wasn't sure, what did Rabbi Lezer mean? Did he mean that it's going to be pasul, or did he mean it's going to be pigle, that it's actually going to make it a full-fledged pigle? So the Gemara suggested that there's a machlokas tanaim, whether Rabbi Lezer... It's multi-layered over here. It's a machlokas tanaim what Rabbi Eliezer held. So there's a shita of tanaim. There's a machlokas tanaim in our Mishnah. There's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer that it's problematic when you have a machshava to eat that which is normally burnt or to burn that which you normally would eat. And then we have a further machlokas tanaim, we think at least, between Rabbi Elazar. That's what also makes it confusing. It's Rabbi Elazar is one of the opinions about what Rabbi Eliezer holds. So we have a further machlokas tanaim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda. Does Rabbi Eliezer hold that it's only pasul midrabanan, or does he hold that it's mamish a pigul machshava midao raisa? So why would we suggest it's machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda about what Rabbi Eliezer holds? Because we had a braisa in the middle of Yud Zayin Amud Beis where the braisa says if a person shechs a karban having in mind to drink the blood of that karban the next day, or to burn the meat of the carbon. Now the meat is supposed to be ne'achal, something that's supposed to be eaten. You have in mind to burn it, that's exactly the case Rabbi Eliezer says in our Mishnah's Pasul. Now what does he mean when he says that? So the Braisa says, if you have this kind of machshava, Tanakama, the Braisa says, well, the Chacham say Kasher, Rabbi Eliezer says Pasul. Great, that's exactly what you would expect. It's a machlokas of our Mishnah, Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. I remember the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. But lahaniach midama lemachar. But then the Braisa takes a little bit of left turn and says, what if you don't have in mind to burn that which is normally eaten or to eat that which is normally burnt? You only have in mind to leave over the blood beyond its regular zman, to leave over the blood for the next day. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's pasul. And then Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, no, that's also a machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. So we wanted to understand what were those last two stages? What are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, the later Tana, arguing about? So the Gemara said, well, if Rabbi Yehuda is going according to the Rabbanan, well, that doesn't make any sense. Because the Rabbanan said that even if you have in mind to drink the blood tomorrow, it's going to be kosher. Then Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if you have in mind to leave it over and not drink it, that's going to be pasul. Which is worse? Presumably, if you have in mind to drink it tomorrow, by definition, you're also having in mind to leave it over tomorrow. So it makes no sense for Rabbi Yehuda to say, oh, the sheet of the Rabbanan is, if you have in mind to drink it tomorrow, it's kosher. If you have in mind to leave it over, it's pasul. That makes no sense. So Rabbi Yehuda must be working within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. That Rabbi Eliezer says, if you have in mind to drink it tomorrow, it's going to be pasul. But if you have in mind just to leave it over till tomorrow, then it's going to be kosher. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. And Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds that no, having in mind to leave it over tomorrow is possible. So ask the Gemara, well, wait a second. How can you say that Rabbi Yehuda clay is talking only within Rabbi Eliezer when he says that it's pasul, and then Rabbi Elazar comes along and he says that Rabbi Eliezer holds it's pasul? If Rabbi Yehuda says Rabbi Eliezer says it's pasul, and Rabbi Elazar says Rabbi Eliezer says it's pasul, well then Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Elazar, keep doing that, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar are not arguing about anything. They both say that Rabbi Eliezer would say pasul, and that the Chacham would say kasher. So what could they possibly be arguing about? So Gemara says, it must be, they're arguing about whether you chayv kares, whether it really becomes pigle, or it's only pasul midrabanan. That must be the machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda must hold that if you have in mind to leave it over till the next day, it's only pasul. But in situations where you have in mind to eat that which is supposed to be burnt, or to burn that which is supposed to be eaten, it would become mamish pigle. And Rabbi Eliezer comes to say that no, Rabbi Eliezer holds, even when you have in mind to eat that which is normally burnt, to burn that which is normally eaten, it's not kares, it's not pigel, it is just pasul midrabanan. So that's what the Gemara suggested yesterday. Maybe the issue of what Rabbi Eliezer means in our Mishnah, when he says you have in mind to eat that which is normally burnt, to burn that which is normally eaten, that it's pasul, whether he holds pasul midrabanan or pigel midaraisa, maybe that is the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer in the Braisa. So says the Gemara now, 3 lines from the bottom, low, incorrect. That is not the machlokas. Dekuli alma kares leka. Everyone holds that Rabbi Eliezer's shita is that it's not pigel midaraisa. It is only going to be pasul. Aye, what then is going on in the Braisa? V'achal gimel machlokas bedavar. In fact, there are three shitos being expressed in the Braisa. Tanakama savar behanach pligi, laniach devrei kol kasher. The Tanakama holds, in the case of our Mishnah, where you have in mind to burn that which you normally eat, and eat that which is normally burnt, there's a machlokas chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, where the chachamim say that it's going to be kasher, and Rabbi Eliezer holds it's going to be pasul midrabanan. But when you have in mind just to leave over the blood till the next day, not to drink it or do anything great, right, just to leave it over till the next day, then everyone would agree that's going to be kosher. That's logical, that leaving it over should be less bad than having in mind to actually drink it the next day, because drinking, as we said before, involves both leaving it over and then taking the next step of drinking it also. So it's logical to assume that even Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that having in mind to drink it the next day is going to be pasul midrabanan, would say that if you only have in mind to leave it over to the next day, it's going to be completely kosher. That's the Tanakama Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Bahanach Pligi, Lahaniach Divrei Kol Pasul, that in the case of having in mind to eat that which is normally burnt, or to burn that which is normally eaten, that's the Machlokas Chacham and Rabbi Elazar that we have in our Mishnah, where the Chacham say Kasher Rabbi Elazar would hold Pasul Midrabanan. But what if you have in mind just to leave it over till the next day? Then even the Chachamim are going to be molded that that's pasul. Well, that's counterintuitive, because then how do the Chachamim make any sense? The Chachamim are saying, if you have in mind to drink it the next day, then it's going to be kosher, but if you have in mind to just leave it over to the next day and not drink it, just to leave it over, then it's going to be pasul. Why would that be worse? Why would leaving it over till the next day be worse than having in mind to leave it over and drink it the next day? So my taima, what's the logic then? Gzeira mixas damo atu kal damo. That's a special gzeira midrabanan, that the rabbanan were worried that if we allow you to, that if we are machshir a karban, where you had in mind to leave over the dam till the next day, some of the dam till the next day, then you're going to come to be machshir a karban where you had in mind to leave over all of the dam till the next day. And when you leave over all of the dam till the next day, it's definitely pasul on a daraisa level. The kaldamo, psula daraisa. Having in mind to leave over all the dam is pasul mi daraisa. How do I know that? Titania, we have a braisa. Omer lehem Rabbi Yehuda, iyatem modim li, shem hi nichu lemachar, she pasul chishiv le nichu lemachar, Nami pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says, don't we all agree that if you leave over all the dam till the next day, that it's going to be pasul, that the carbon is going to be pasul? Which makes a lot of sense, because you couldn't do zrika if you left over all the dam till the next day. So you can't do zrika on blood that's already been left over till the next day. You obviously didn't do it before, because this is all of the dam. So even if you have a machshava to leave over all the dam till the next day, that will also be pasul. So that is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, again, the strangest shita. It sounds a little backwards at first, but it's all a gezeira mitzvah. Rabbanan, that if you have in mind to drink the dam the next day, that the Chachamim are going to say kosher. If you have in mind to just leave over the dam till the next day, then the Chachamim are going to say it's pasul. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Va'asa Rabbi Eliezer lemeimar, and Rabbi Eliezer comes to tell me, af bezu Rabbi Eliezer posa v'chachamim machshirin, that even in the case where you have in mind to leave it over to the next day, it's still subject to that same machlokas we have in our Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, which the case in our Mishnah was, you had in mind to eat that which is burnt and burn that which is eaten, but that same machlokas would apply if you just have in mind to leave over the dam till the next day. Bottom line, when all the dust settles, what we're interested in out of this explanation of the Braisa is not so much the details of who holds what, but the bottom line is, we were able to explain the Braisa where all three shitos assume that Rabbi Eliezer's position in our Mishnah is not a position Mida Oraisa. He does not think it becomes Pigel Oraisa. All three shitos in the Braisa understand Rabbi Eliezer the same way in regards to our Mishnah, that it's only a psul drabanan. That's what we gained out of this explanation. That when Rabbi Elazar says, if you have in mind to burn that which is normally eaten or to eat that which is normally burnt, he only means midrabanan. But that's it. Now, okay, let's see the Gemara weiter. V'savar Rabbi Yehuda laniach midam l'machar divar kol pasul. But now the Gemara just gets onto this tangent. Wait a second. So what are they arguing about in the Braisa? So they're arguing about a different case. Not where you plan on eating that which is normally burnt or burning that which is normally eaten, where you plan on leaving the blood over. That was the three-way machlokas in the Braisa we're claiming now. That the Tanakhama holds, everyone would say that case is kosher. Rabbi Yehuda would say everyone holds that case is pasul. Everyone being Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, that's also machlokas. That's the three-way machlokas in the Braisa. So now we just focus on that for a second, more than a second, till the Mishnah. So v'savar Rabbi Yehuda laniach midama l'machar divrei akol pasul. Wait a second, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree that if you plan on leaving the dam over till the next day, that that's going to pasul your karban? V'atanya, we have a Braisa. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe told over the following story. K'shalachti l'matzos midosai etzel Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. When I went to squeeze out my measuring utensils by Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. What does it mean, squeeze out my measuring utensils? So Rashi explains, Leida mitzvei talmudai v'lishol sveikosai, to get every little last bit of information that I need from my learning out of him. Meaning I had a lot of sveikos, there were a lot of things I wasn't sure about, so there were a lot of things I needed to go to him, and I had a whole list of questions. So I went to him, I went to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua to help me out with my learning. That's what Rebbe says. L'matzos midosai literally means the way they used to sell things is you'd have measuring cups in the store and you'd say, I'd like a pound of flour. So the guy in the store had a cup the size of a pound. He would scoop out from that cup and then put it into your kli. He wouldn't provide you with the kli. They didn't have disposable containers like we have nowadays. So he didn't just fill up a kli and give you the kli. He filled up his kli and emptied it into yours. So let's say you ask for oil. So you'd ask for whatever it is, 10 ounces of oil. So he had a 10-ounce kli and he dropped it into yours. The only problem is oil adheres to the sides of the kli. So if you just turn it over and then turn it right back, you're going to be missing out a lot of oil, because there's going to be a lot of oil still left in the mocher's kli. So the matzos midosai means when they would just let it sit to drip slowly, to get every little last bit out. So that's what he was saying. That's the imagery he's saying. I was trying to get every little last bit of my learning clarified. The Amrila, and some say, no, it wasn't to get, it was the imagery is a little different. The matzos midosai shablozer ben shemua. I was trying to drain him for every last bit of his Torah. I was trying to get every little bit out of him. I was trying to get whatever Torah I could get out of him, Rebbe says, when I went to visit Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua. So when I went there, says Rebbe, Matzasi is a whole story about what happened, but the raya takes 15 lines to get to. Matzasi Yosef HaBavli Yosef Lefanav. He says, I found that Yosef HaBavli was sitting right there in front of him. Vayichaviv lo biyoser ad la'achas. And Yosef HaBavli was so beloved to Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, he was like one. So what does it mean, he was like one? So Tosfos says a few deos over here. Ad la'achas. First of all, Tosfos and the Shittim Betzos change the gear, so not ad la'achas, but ad achas. And then Tosa says, yeah, but b'megillah stam drabei nisim garis ad la'achas. That our gear so appears also in certain versions of the text. And what does that mean? Pirish ad ma'od. Kidim targumin on ma'od l'chada. That sometimes the word l'chada in Aramaic means very much. So we just put it into Hebrew. La'achas also means very much. That he just loved him very much. V'yesh mefarshim ad achas ad hanefesh shenikreis yechida. That he loved him all the way to the depths of his soul. And the nefesh is called yechida, is called the achas. So he had this tremendous love for him. But Tosa says, okay, well, however you want to translate it, we get it. He loved him a lot. But there's trouble in this Gemara, and it's the following. Our Gemara sounds like Rebbe drained Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua for all of his learning, because Rebbe says, I'm going l'matzos midosai for Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. He must have learned a lot of Torah from him. But there's a Gemara in Yevamos, v'kasha d'besofa ara lamer Rebbe, kishalachti l'mo Torah etzel Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, chivru alai talmidav kitarna golin shel beis bukya, v'lo inichu li l'mo del dover echad b'mishnaseinu. Rebbe lamented how when he tried to go learn Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, the talmid of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua didn't give him any rest, they didn't allow him to learn anything, and he was only able to learn one thing from him. So wait a second, how could our Gemara say that Rebbe drained Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua of all of his learning? It sounds in the Gemara in Yevamos, he got almost nothing out of him. He got one halacha from him. So v'shem ma'isa zahaya achrakach. Maybe this story in our Gemara is after the story in Yevamos. And initially the Talmidim drove him crazy. He tried again years later, and it worked out, or months later, whenever it was, and it worked out better. Teda dasam kamer lilmo Torah And the proof is that over there it says that he went to learn Torah, which makes it sound like he was initially going. Over here it says Limtos Midosav. I was trying to drain him for every last bit, which makes it sound like he already learned Torah from him. He was just trying to get every last bit of Torah out of him. That's at least if you understand that it's Limtos Midosav Shoglozim and Shemua. Right? You might ask, what difference does it make whether it's Limtos Midosai or Limtos Midosav Shoglozim and Shemua? If it's Limtos Midosai, then there's no mashmos that he already learned anything from him. He's just saying, I was very strong in my learning. I had whatever it was, 10 sfeikas. I went to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua to try to clarify them. Nothing to do with his history with Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. So if you say like the first version of our Gemara, then maybe you could have a simpler answer. You could say that he went, Limtos Midosai Eitzel Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, and it didn't work out, because there was Yosef HaBavli hogging Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, and he couldn't do anything. He didn't have any chance to really learn. But let's see the continuation of the story. So Amar Lo, so Yosef HaBavli says to Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Rabbi, Hashochet es hazavach laniach midam alamachar mahu. What if a person shechs a karban, having in mind to leave the blood over till the next day? Again, that is, according to what the Gemara just said, subject of a three-way machlokas tanaim, What the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer held about that case, right? Rabbi Yehud, that the Tanakama held that everyone would say kosher in that case. Rabbi Yehuda held everyone would say pasul in that case, and Rabbi Elazar holds it's machlokas Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer. So he asked Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, what do you think? Amalo kosher. He says it's absolutely kosher. Sounds like he holds like the Tanakama, right? Arvis. He asked him again. Arvis. Amalo kosher. Kosher again. Shachris, he asked him again in the morning. Amarlo, kosher. Tzaraim, he asked him again in the afternoon. Amarlo, kosher. Mincha, he asked him again in mincha time. Amarlo, kosher. Ella, Rabbi Eliezer posel. He says, yeah, it's kosher, but you should know there's another shita. Rabbi Eliezer would hold the apostles. Ooh. So right away, just now, he changed from sounding like he holds like the Tanakama, that everyone holds its kosher, to holding like Rabbi Elazar, who thinks it's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. But either way, he definitely doesn't say Divrei HaKol Pasul, right? He definitely doesn't tell him like Rabbi Yehuda. So Tzavu Panav Shel Yosef HaBavli. Yosef HaBavli was all excited. What? It's a machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer says Pasul. All of a sudden, he was all excited. Amar Lo. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua says to Yosef HaBavli, Yosef, Kumeduma Ani Shelo Kivanu Shemak Tzaseinu Adata. You know, I'm getting the impression that until now, you weren't so excited about the learning, that you thought something was off, that something was different. So Amar Lo, Rabbi Hain, you're right. Elish Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda, now here's where it's important, Rabbi Yehuda, the names are important, Rabbi Yehuda taught me that it's pasul, v'chazarti al kol talmidav, u'bikashti lichaver, v'lo matzasi. And I went to all the other talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda to try to find someone else who heard this and who could confirm this teaching, and I couldn't find anybody. Now that you told me, that you, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, told me that Rabbi Eliezer holds pasul, so now I have confirmation for what Rabbi Yehuda taught me, that it's pasul. So Zolguin of the Moshe, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua started to cry. He had tears streaming down his face. Amar, and he said, Ashrechem Talmidei Chacham Shedrei Torah, Chavivin Aleichem B'Yoser. Wow, how unbelievable you Talmidei Chacham are, that you love Torah so much, that you were so excited, that you were tzavu panav, that you worked so hard to try to find another shita that holds this way. How amazing that is to the integrity in Talmud Torah, to not just say, oh, well, I remember it this way, but to look for, see, confirm whether you remember correctly, and to look and to work hard at it till you're able to confirm that teaching or not. There's a lot of this in Zvach, in Menachos, no? A lot of situations where people have very strong expressions. Tickle kachol shmai, you know what was the expression we had yesterday? That this one teaching weighed as much as all my other learning. A lot of it's almost like you have to convince ourselves that like we have to get excited about these things. That you know, it's tzavu panav, so much excitement over these details in Maseches Menachos. So Karalav Amikra Azeh. So he says about you, I could say this pasuk ma ahavti sarasecha kol hayom hisichasi. How much my Torah is beloved, it is what I talk about all day. But bottom line is, what happened in the story? What did Rabbi Yehuda say in the story? So he explains to him why Rabbi Elazar ben Shmua then explains why it is that he that he originally told him just straight out kosher, 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 and then said, yeah, Rabbi Eliezer says pasul. And why it is that Rabbi Yehuda taught him pasul? He says, you know why Rabbi Yehuda taught you pasul? Because if you trace his Mesorah, Rabbi Yehuda's Mesorah, back up, you'll find that it leads you to Rabbi Eliezer. Lefichach shanalach mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. So when he told you pasul, he was telling you the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. So of course, he was teaching you his father's Rebbe's shita. So that's what he was teaching, naturally. So the isal kadai, but now, here's the Gemara's Raya. V'isal kadai tachtivriya kol pasul asniya. But wait a second, if Rabbi Yehuda didn't teach him that Rabbi Eliezer says it's pasul, rather Rabbi Yehuda taught him that everyone says it's pasul, well then, why was Yosef HaBavli so excited that Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua taught him that it's a machlokes? That's not at all what Rabbi Yehuda taught him. Because again, Rabbi Yehuda, we wanted to say, hold that if you have in mind to leave over the blood till the next day, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer say that it's possible. So wait a second. Now Yosef HaBavli is getting all excited that, oh, you, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, are teaching me the same thing that Rabbi Yehuda taught me. No, Yosef, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua was not teaching that at all. Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, in fact, told him five times that there's a shita that holds its kosher. He held it's only Rabbi Eliezer that says pasul. It's not Divrei HaKol. So what's he getting so excited, Yechzar to Liavidasi? Makes it sound like Rabbi Yehuda never taught him that everybody says that it's pasul. Otherwise, he wouldn't be so excited that the teachings match, that what Rabbi Yehuda taught him matches with what Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua taught him. Elamai kosher, v'Rabbi Lazar posel asnia. It must be that when Rabbi Yehuda taught Yosef HaBavli, he must have told him that it's kosher, and Rabbi Eliezer holds it's pasul, that it's a machlokes, not divrei hakol. So, frankly, Gemara, ihachi, if that's what he taught him, my hamipnei, ananami plukta kamasninan. Why is he saying, oh, this is why Rabbi Yehuda taught it to you this way? It's because he traces his halachic lineage to Rabbi Eliezer. What do you mean? I'm teaching you the same way he taught you, that it's a machlokes. So what am I teaching you any different than he taught you? I don't trace Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua. I don't trace my halachic lineage back to Rabbi Eliezer. So why is he explaining, oh, the reason Rabbi Yehuda taught you this way is that he traces his lineage back to Rabbi Eliezer? That doesn't make sense if Rabbi Yehuda taught the same exact thing that Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua taught. So Elo Liolam Divrei HaKol Pasul Asnia. So we have to go back to what we thought originally. That Rabbi Yehuda taught his Talmidim that everyone holds it's pasul, that the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer both say it's pasul. Umay Chzarta Liavedasi. So why is he so excited? Chzarta Liavedasi. He did not, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua's teaching did not at all match what Yosef HaBavli had heard from Rabbi Yehuda. He at least gave me a shita. He at least threw me a bone. He at least told me that there's somebody that holds pasul. So granted, Rabbi Lazar ben Shmuel doesn't agree completely with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds the Chacham also say pasul, and Rabbi Lazar ben Shmuel says no, it's only shita Rabbi Eliezer that says pasul. But at least he gave me something. He gave me somebody who holds pasul. So that got him all excited. That was what made him so happy. That at least somebody out there held that it was pasul. Okay. Bottom line, end of the day, what do we get out of this Gemara? If a person has a machshava to leave over the dam past the zman until the next day, we had a three-way machlokas tanayim. What Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham hold about it? Either divrei hakol kasher, divrei hakol pasul, or it's a machlokas, and that is in fact how we assume the maskana, that it's a three-way machlokas tanayim. What Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim hold about it, and obviously Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua's mesora matches Rabbi Elazar's mesora, which is fine. Rabbi Yehuda has a different mesora of what that machlokas was. Okay, new Mishnah. Before we do the Mishnah, just a couple of background points. There is a Mishnah on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis that tells us that every mincha that's na'asa b'kli requires three placements of oil. There's yitzika, belila, and matan shemen b'kli. The way it works is as follows. The way Karban Mincha works out is as follows. By the Mishnah Melech writes that there's no shear of how much oil. We don't find a shear of how much oil is put in each stage. In the Yitzika stage, the Belila stage, the Matan Shemen Bakli stage. He says if a person wants, he could split up the oil however he would like. If he wants to do a little more oil in stage one, a little less in stage two, whatever he wants, it's all fine. Chaznish, however, thinks that you should only put a kazayas of oil for the matan shem b'kli, and a kazayas of oil for the yitzika, and all the rest of the oil should be used at the belila stage. But anyway, in Mishnah Melech just says, we don't find anywhere that it says that explicitly, that there's any shear of how to divide it up. But there are three nesinos of oil. Here's the way a karban mincha works. First, you put before you put the flour in the kli, you put a little bit of oil in the kli. That's what we call matan shemen bekli. You're putting the oil in the kli before you put any of the flour. Then you put a nisaron of solas, you put a nisaron of flour in the kli, and then you put a little more oil in the kli, and you're bolel, and you mix it around. L'chadchila, at least, you mix it around. Then you fry the karban mincha, you bake it, whatever, in a machlas, you fry it in a machlas or a marcheshes, based on whatever kind of karban mincha it is, and you make 10 chalos out of it, and then you pour whatever oil is left over on top of it afterwards. That's yitzika. So the real order is matan shemen b'kli, b'lila, yitzika. Now, if it's a mincha solas, you don't fry it. Rather, you just put all the leftover oil on the dough, because you never bake it. There's some karbanos mincha that never get baked, some that do get baked, right? Some remain like a dough. Afterwards, you break it up into psisim, you crumble it up into kazesim, and if you don't do psisa, the mincha is still going to be kosher, as long as you did the psisa kadei kmitza, as long as you broke it up enough to be able to get a viable kmitza out of it. The menachos would then be waved. It was required tenufa before you brought it to the mizbeach. The tenufa was on the eastern side of the azara, and then you would bring it to the southeast side of the mizbeach, at which point you would do the kmitza. You would be mekadesh the komets by putting it into another kli. Then you would bring the komets to the top of the mizbeach. You would then do melicha. We often don't think of melicha in relation to a karban mincha. Karban mincha also requires melicha. You salt a karban mincha. You put salt on the kmitza, and you go and you burn the kmitza. That is the seder hadvarim. So now, knowing that, says the Mishnah, lo yatzak, what if you didn't do yitzika? Lo balal, you didn't do belila. Lo pasas, you didn't do the crumbling up. Velo malach, you didn't do the salting. Velo hainif, you didn't do the waving. Lo higish, you didn't do the bringing toward the mizbeach. Or maybe you made very large, when you crumbled it up into very large pieces, and you didn't pour oil on top of it. Kshera, that is going to be kosher. It's still, the carbon is still going to be kosher. Now Tosos points out, if you look at the bottom, Tosos, lo malach, lo hinif, lo higish, lo diktek b'seder, that the Mishnah is going out of order in terms of the way the avodah was done. Right, the way we described it is the tenufa kodemus l'melicha. The waving comes before the salting, because you do the waving before you bring it to the southeastern side of the mizbeach, at which point you then do the kmitza and the melicha and the haktara. So ketanya sota, what's the gears to change over here? All right, whatever it is. Kedetanya sota vehinif vehigish kamatu malach vehiktir. Right, the first you wave, then you bring to the mizbeach, then you do the kmitza, then you do the melicha, then you do the aktara. Va'od amrin b'gemar l'kaman. Plus, the gemara is going to say in 2 days from now, de'in lomar lo malach kohen elazar v'chisal al daitach shazar kara veitzel mizbeach. Meaning, we talk about who's doing the tenufa, and we mention the possibility of a zar doing the waving. Well, wait a second. If the waving is done after the melicha is done by the mizbeach, how in the world does a zar do the waving? A zar is not allowed anywhere near the mizbeach. He's not allowed to be there. So it must be that the melicha happens after the waving. And the Mishnah is just simply out of order. Not so strange. It happens sometimes that the Mishnah is out of order. Now, we mentioned before that there are three matnos shemen. There is the matan shemen bekli, the belila, and the yitzika. What does our Mishnah say? If you didn't do the yitzika, and if you didn't do the belila, it's still kasher. What does it leave out? It doesn't say anything about matan shemen bekli. What if I didn't do the matan shem b'kli? It doesn't say anything. If that's kosher or not kosher, so the Taras HaKodesh says, the fact that it leaves it out tells me that that must be ma'akev, that it must be possible if you don't do the matan shem b'kli. He says, why else would the Mishnah have left it out? Happens to be most of the Echorim disagree. The Minchas Chinuch, the Mitzvah Kof Tazayin, the Chazanish and Simon Chafei, they hold matan shem b'kli is also not ma'akev. It's also only a din l'chadchila. And we said also, if you don't do the malicha, it's kosher. So the Gemara's maskana is going to be that what the Mishnah means is, that you didn't do melicha at all, because the melicha is not ma'akev the karban mincha. Meaning, not just that you did melicha on part of it, not the other part. It means when we say lo malach, it means you didn't do the melicha at all. The Gemara is going to say, because melicha is not ma'akev by a karban mincha. So the Bar Tanura in our Mishnah says that lo malach means that you didn't do melicha on the entire karban mincha, But if that's when it's kosher. If you didn't do melicha on the whole thing, but if you did melicha, but you must have done melicha on the kometz, because if you didn't do melicha even on the kometz, then the whole thing is going to be pasul. The melicha sa kometz is ma'akev. So Rabbi Kivager asks, he doesn't understand, how can the Bar Tanura say that melicha sa kometz is ma'akev, that there's a, which makes it sound like there's a mitzvah l'chadchila to do melicha really on the entire karban. It's just the only part that's ma'akev is the melicha sa kometz. Where do we find that? The Gemara later on is on Daf Chaf is going to say not that way. The Gemara is going to strongly imply that even l'chadchila there's no mitzvah to do melicha on the entire mincha. The mitzvah is to do melicha only on the kometz. So what do you mean that melicha on the kometz is ma'akev and the rest of the mincha is a mitzvah and a mufkar? We never find such a thing. The Rambam says that when the Mishnah says that lo malach means shalom malach kohen elazar, lo malach doesn't mean you don't do the melicha because the melicha actually is ma'akev. The Rambam says so. Rambam Pirush Mishnah says it must mean that no, a kohen didn't do the melicha, azar did the melicha. That's what we mean that lo malach. The problem that the Achronim have with the Rambam is that it's against the Gemara. The Gemara in Daf Chaf Amud Aleph suggests this as a possible explanation of the Mishnah, and then says, but it's wrong, right? It suggests that maybe lo malach means lo malach kohen elazar. Then the Gemara is going to say, nah, not really. That's not what it means. It means that lo malach klal. So why did the Rambam take the Havamina? Maybe we'll discuss a little more when we get to Daf Chaf. Okay, but anyway. That's our Mishnah. These are the things that are not ma'akev, the Karban Mincha. The Karban Mincha is still going to be kosher. So, my lo yatzak. What do we mean when we say that lo yatzak? You didn't do the yitzika of the shemen. Ilem lo yatzak klal ikuva kasavba. If you want to tell me that you didn't do the yitzika at all, but no, that's ma'akev. It says it's nemer v'nishnis, and we know that that in Kachim the rule is anytime something is said twice, so you know it's ma'akev. Shina lava kasav la'akev. The Torah repeats things to tell me that it's ma'akev. So you can't tell me you didn't do the yitzika at all. Ella lo yatzak kohen elazar. Lo yatzak must mean that a kohen didn't do the yitzika, a zar did the yitzika. That's still going to be kosher. Well then, ihachi lo balonami. So for parallel's sake, let's translate the whole Mishnah. So if lo yatzak means that a zar did the yitzika, lo balo must mean that a zar did the belila. Lo balo kohen elazar. But halo bala klal psula, which implies that if nobody did the belila, then it's going to be possible. Because if the Mishnah is telling me Azar does the belila, it's still kosher, implies if nobody does the belila, then it's going to be possible. But is that true? Vatanan shishim nivlalim shishim echadei nivlalim. If you have 60 esronim in one lug of shemen, that could be nivlal, that could get mixed in very well together. But 61 esronim in one lug of shemen doesn't get mixed in together. Vavim baki nivlal may havi. And we ask on that, who cares whether it gets mixed in well or not? Vatanan lo balok sheira. Though we have a mission that says even if you don't do belila, it's still going to be kosher. So what do we care if you have 61 esronim of flour? Doesn't, you don't need belila anyway. Vamar Rabbi Zeira, most famous line in the whole Masechta. That no, you at least need the amount of flour and oil together to be ra'oi lebila, to be ra'oi to mix it together. If it's not even a proper amount that you could do the bila, then it's going to be ma'akiv, then it's not going to be kosher. But bottom line is, we're asking if the word yitzika, when we say lo yatzak, in our Mishnah means lo yatzak kohen elazar, then the parallel lo balal would mean lo balal kohen elazar, which implies that if nobody does the belila at all, it's possible. But over here we see that if nobody does the belila at all, it's not possible. It's kosher as long as it is ra'oi lebila. So what are you telling me that lo balal klal, that it's going to be possible? So says Gemara, midiria hakadisa vakadisa. Lo yatzak, lo yatzak kohen elazar, lo balal klal. No, you don't make any diukim. Just because lo yatzak means lo yatzak kohen elazar does not mean that lo balal means lo balal kohen elazar. Lo balal means nobody did the belila. So when our Mishnah says lo yatzak, it's kosher, means a kohen didn't do the yitzika, azar did the yitzika. Fine, that's kosher. When it says lo balal, it means nobody did belila. That's kosher, as long as you had an amount that was ra'i lebila. A lot to talk about, obviously, on the issue of ra'i lebila. Briskarov points out that the yisod of a psul of a mincha that has 61 esronim of flour is not because you can't do the mitzvah of belila, that you've disqualified the possibility of the mitzvah of belila. Rather, it's the following. From the fact that the Torah asks you or requests that we do belila, it tells you that the Torah has a requirement of a certain amount of flour and a certain amount of oil. Those are the ingredients of a Karban Mincha. If you bring 61 asronim of flour and one lug of oil, that's like bringing cornstarch instead of flour. You're just bringing the wrong ingredients. The ingredients are 60 and 1, and that's it. You're off on the ingredients. And to bring Karban with the wrong ingredients, like bringing a pig, and it's just not what you're allowed to bring. So that's why it's possible. It's not because of the inability to do Blila that makes it possible. It's because the Torah is megalitos by giving us a mitzvah of Blila, that this is the amount that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. So the Ma'anaf Kamina, who cares why? Bottom line is, if I can't do Blila, because it's too much flour, so it's no good. So Briskov says it's very important. He says, what if you can't do Blila for a different reason? What if you did the Blila b'chutz, chutz la'zara? So now you can't do Blila because Blila was already done. You had the right ratios, but Blila was already done. Remember, we had a machlokas. This was one of the machlokas and three machlokas in between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, if the Blila happens b'chutz, I think, right? I think that was one of the machlokas we had last week. But assuming like the Shita, I don't remember whose Shita was who already, but assuming like the Shita, now I can't find it. But assuming like it's on Daf Tesa Med Aleph, we had a Belila b'chutz Azara. Rabbi Yochanan says it's possible, Reish Lakish says it's kosher. So assuming that the Belila doesn't count as a Belila, but it's not going to pass the Karban, the Belila just doesn't count as a Belila, so now you can't do the Belila b'fnim, because you already did it b'chutz. So is that going to pass? So Briskov says, no. The whole din of Blila is not just that you took away the possibility of doing Blila by having 61 asronim of flour. It's that you have the wrong numbers. You have the wrong amounts. You're not bringing what you're supposed to bring. But when you have the right amounts, you just did the Blila b'chutz, it's not going to pass the Karban. The Briskov's explanation of Kalorei Labila is clear in the Rashbam and Maseches Babasra and Daf Pe'al from Beis. Rashbam says the same thing, that it's simply not the ingredients of the Karban. Shagasariyeh in Tshuva says differently. Shagasariyeh in Tshuva says that Kalorei Labila and Bila Makevispo, the way Rav Shechter always likes to explain it, is that sometimes you have a mitzvah l'chachila, sometimes you have a mitzvah b'di'eved, that l'chachil it's no good, but b'di'eved it's still kosher, and sometimes you go so b'di'eved that it's it takes away your kiyum entirely, that it's too far b'di'eved, you went beyond the b'di'eved. So you have so the mitzvah min ha-mufchar is to do the b'lila. Shalom min ha-mufchar, at least have roi l'bila. So shalom min ha-mufchar that it's not even roi l'bila, well then, as Rav Shechter liked to say, the mitzvah dies of malnutrition. It's got nothing left. There's nothing supporting it. So a little bit different take on it. A lot of nafkaminas between the two understandings, not for now. Okay, so says also a very interesting Tosfos over here about Belila, about this cloud of Kalorei Labila and Bila Makevispo. Tosfos asks a very fundamental question. He says, it says Belila by Karban Mincha in the Torah 12 times. Why isn't it Ma'akev? Don't we have a rule by Kachim? And whenever the Torah says it twice, it's Ma'akev. Tosfos counts 12 times. It tells me about Belila. That's not enough. So he says, "V'yeshlomer d'lo mishtamet kra d'lichta b'shum duchta ubilalta b'shemin b'lashon tzivoy." All 12, it only talks about, yeah, if you do Belila here, you do Belila there. Never says, you must do Belila. It's never said b'lashon tzivoy. So if it's never said b'lashon tzivoy, it's never going to be ma'akev. So it says, tells us, how do I know that you need roi l'bila? Where do we get that from in the Torah? It just says that you need that you should do the b'lila. Whosoever says anything about roi l'bila, so it says svar b'almahu. If the Torah tells me that you should do the b'lila, obviously it's telling me that you should have the amounts of flour and oil that you'd be able to do the b'lila. He points out that is the way it works in all of the other places in Shas that we have Kalorei Labila, but in the application of Kalorei Labila that we have Maseches Kiddushin in regards to Tevila, it's very strange. It's a very unusual Kalorei Labila. What is the Gemara saying? Kiddushin Daf Chav Hey talks about a person goes to the mikvah. So we said that the water doesn't need to enter your mouth, but your mouth has to not have any chatzitzas in it. A woman before she goes to the mikvah, she brushes her teeth. She can't have any. She doesn't eat meat the whole day going to the mikvah. Why? Basar bein hashinayim. She might have basar caught between her teeth. So what? She's not opening her mouth anyway. No, but the Beis HaStarim needs to be ra'ui l'bias mayim. You don't need actual bias mayim in the Beis HaStarim. Frektosis, very strong kasha. Every other place we have kalorei l'bila and bila makevispo, there's a din l'chadchila to do the bila. There's a din l'chadchila to do it. Is there any din l'chadchila for a woman to open her mouth in the mikvah? Who ever heard of such a thing? A din l'chachila that she should let the water get in her mouth? Why is that kolorei labila different than every other kolorei labila in all the shas? Okay, we'll leave that as a kasha because we got to finish the daf here. Osha pasa piece of merubas kshera. So the Mishnah said if you break it up into large pieces, it's kasher. So hashlo pasas klal kshera piece of merubas mibayis. Ask the Gemara. Of course, it's kasher. Even if you don't do psisa at all, it's kasher. So if you cut it into large pieces, obviously that's going to be kasher. So says Gemara, no, my piece of merubas shariba bepsisin. Piece of merubas doesn't mean large pieces. It means you crush it up so much that it's you've done too much crushing, that it almost doesn't even resemble the proper carbon mincha anymore. This is assuming, like the Shita Tosos points out, it's machlokas we have later on Daf Ayin Hey, when you do the psisa, how much psisa are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to grind it back into a flour, or are you supposed to just fold it over a couple of times? This is assuming, like the Shita, you're supposed to fold it over a couple of times. If you're supposed to grind it into a flour, then there's obviously no problem of being marbe b'psisa, of doing too much psisa. There's no such thing as too much. You're supposed to break it back down into a flour. So we're assuming, like the Shita, that you're only supposed to fold it over a few times. Fine. So then that's what the Mishnah is saying. If you overdid it, it's still going to be kosher. Or maybe really we could say our Mishnah means that you made it into large pieces. What's the Ava mean? If I don't do psisa at all, it's kosher. Why would I think that if I make it into large pieces, it wouldn't be kosher? I might have thought that when you do psisa, there are two ways to bring carbon mincha. You can have a challah or you can have psisin. But you can't be in between. No beinani. You gotta go with one or the other. Either have chalos or have psisin. And if you just make large pieces, well, that's not psisin, nor is it chalos. So then you ruin the whole thing. Kamash Malan, our Mishnah tells me that you didn't ruin the whole thing. It's still going to be kosher. Says Marlein Masnisin, look, Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah seems to be against Rabbi Shimon. What did our Mishnah say? That yitzika done by a zar. What we just said before, right after the Mishnah, that if the yitzika Hashem is done by a zar, that it's kosher. Sounds like it's against Rabbi Shimon. How do I know? Any kohen who's not moda ba'avoda doesn't have a chelik in the kuhuna. Any kohen who's not moda that the avoda is good or commanded by God has no chelik b'kuhuna. So Rashi Masechus Kulin says that he's omer belibo divrei hevel hein. As he's doing the avoda, he says in his heart, this is all garbage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never commanded this. Moshe Rabbeinu made this stuff up. He had a very creative mind, and this didn't come from God. So obviously the Achronim point out when Rashi says Omer Belibo, the Avnei Nezer writes in Tshuva Avnei Nezer Sim Reish Chav Gimel, not Belibo, because how would we know if it was just Omer Belibo? It means that he says, he actually expresses his opinion that this was all based on Moshe Rabbeinu himself. The Ritva asks on Rashi, that's what we call a Kofer Be'ikr, right? That's what we call someone who's not Bikores. He only ain't lochelik b'avod b'kohuna. How about ain't lochelik in anything? What do you mean? He's Chayv Misa. He's Kofer B'Torus Moshe. So what does that mean? That ain't lochelik? No, he says the Ritva means there, some of the details of the avoda, he doesn't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that serious about. He thinks God said all of it. But like, does God really care if I do this detail? That's his attitude. It's not that God didn't give it. It's that God doesn't really care that much. But if he's moda in the avoda, so he has a chelik in kuna. Sheina moda ba'avoda, ein lo chelik b'kuna, vein li elezu bilvad. Minay l'rabos tesvav avodos. So I would only know about this avoda alone. How do I know all the other avodos? Hayetzikos, Vablilos, Vapsisos, Vamlichos, Vatnufos, Vagoshos, Vakamitsos, Vaktoros, Vamlichos, Vakabolos, Azos, Vashkosota, Varifus, Agavataras, and Sorvan, and Siskabai, and Chutzminain. How do I know all those other 15 Avodos? That if he's not Moda in any of them, that he has no Chelik Bekuna. Tamlom, Mne Aaron, Avoda, Mesur, Lebne Aaron, Kalkoin, Shane, Modaba, and Lochelik Bekuna. Any Avoda that's given to Bne Aaron, if he's not Moda in it, he has no Chelik in the Kuhuna. So wait a second, what do we refer to as an Avoda? Yetzika. So, but wait a second, our Mishnah said Yitzika Bizar is kasher. Rabbi Shimon says if he's not more than the Avoda, Avoda, what do you mean? Avoda is only allowed to be done by Kohanim. And we mentioned Yitzika as one of the Avodos. So says Gemara, I'm Rav Nachman, lo kasha. Kam b'milchas Kohanim, kam b'milchas Yisrael. Depends whose kam b'milcha it is. If it's milchas Kohanim, milchas Yisrael. Milchas Yisrael, the bas kamitza, mi kamitza ve'elach mitzvah kuna. A milchas Yisrael, which needs kamitza. So from the point of kamitza and on, you dafka need Kohanim to be involved. Limeid al Yitzika ublila shekshir bizar. Which means that the Yitzika and the blila is still going to be kasher bizar, because that's before the kamitza. kmitza. Minchas kohanim delav bas kmitza, but the minchas kohanim which does not have kmitza meikara bayikuna needs kahuna all along, and therefore needs kahuna even at the stage of yitzika. Amalei Rava michti minchas kohanim mehiches rabbi li yitzika. Minchas Yisrael. Wait a second. How do we even know you need yitzika by minchas kohanim? We only learn it from minchas Yisrael. So ma'asam ksher bizar, afachanamik ksher bizar. So minchas Yisrael, you're allowed to have a zar do the yitzika. Minchas kohanim, you should also be allowed to have the zar do the yitzika. So some say no. The answer to the stira is it depends if a kmitza is being done at all or not. How do you know that you need yitzika on those kabbarnos that you don't do a kmitza on? Minikmatzos, you learn it from the nikmatzos. So then it should be kinikmatzos. Ma'asim ksher bizar, afachanami ksher bizar. Just like nikmatzos, the yitzika is kasher bizar, the ein nikmatzos, also the yitzika should be ksher bizar. So bottom line is, it still seems that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon thinks that yitzika is an avoda, and as an avoda can only be done by kohanim, our Mishnah says yitzika is done by Zar, it's okay. So says Gemara, yeah, you're right. That's what we have to stick with. We have to say that our Mishnah is going against the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll stop there.